Grace to you, peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear once again this short section from our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 2. Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. Herod the Great ruled Judea from 37 AD until 4 BC. And as I mentioned to you last week, he built the greatest of the Jerusalem temples for the Jews, even though he was generally hated by the Jews. But he also built cities and theaters and hippodromes, at least two temples to Augustus Caesar, and several fortresses. He was extremely ambitious and aggressive. But he was also extremely cruel, very cruel. He executed one of his 10 wives. He executed a mother-in-law, brother-in-law, an uncle, and three of his sons. And so Caesar Augustus once joked about him, it's better to be Herod's pig than his son. And of course, there is the murder of the holy innocents here in our text. Those baby boys, 2 years old and younger, in and around Bethlehem. We don't know how many, but the best estimates usually are something like 24 young boys. And he did this because he was threatened by the news from the wise men of this newborn king of the Jews. Herod was obsessed with power and would protect it no matter what, even if it meant murdering his wife and his brother-in-law and his mother-in-law and his uncle and his three sons and these 24 or so infant males. He was a monster. He was a slave to sin and to Satan. Our history is full of monsters like this. In more recent times, I think of Joseph Mengele, who was a medical doctor, an officer in Germany under Hitler. His nickname was the Angel of Death. He was responsible for sending many Jews and others, including children, to the gas chambers in Auschwitz. But he was known mostly because of his human experimentation on children. Mengele would house them, treat them well, feed them, have them call him Uncle Mengele, but then experiment on them. He would befriend them and then think nothing as he caused them to suffer mentally, physically, and often lethally. Let me mention one other murderer of children right here in America. Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who died in 2011. He was co-founder of the National Abortion Rights Action League, and he was very influential in the 1973 Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion for all 9 months in all 50 states. He was also in charge of the world's largest abortion clinic, and according to his own testimony, he was responsible, therefore, for 75,000 abortions. So remember his name, Dr. Bernard Nathanson. If you have looked at the announcements in the bulletin, you notice that you're invited to the March for Life event this coming Saturday at Daly Park in Chicago. And your pastor encourages you to come if you're able to support this pro-life effort with the hope that our nation might wake up and recognize that the unborn are just as human, just as sacred, just as alive as you and me. The difference is where we reside. They reside in the womb, and we outside the womb. But there is no difference in terms of humanity and sanctity. Most people, including Christians, do not understand the immensity of this tragedy in our country since 1973. I think people still do not clearly know how many babies have been aborted in the last 47 years. So here's one way to try to comprehend the number. If you take the population of the least populated state in our country, Wyoming, 572,000 people live there now, and you add to that state the population of several other states. You add to it the populations of Vermont, Alaska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Delaware, Rhode Island, Montana, Maine, New Hampshire, Hawaii, Idaho, West Virginia, Nebraska, New Mexico, Kansas, Mississippi, Arkansas, Nevada, Iowa, Utah, Connecticut, Oklahoma, Oregon, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Alabama. That's 27 states. You take the current total population of those states combined, and that's the number of abortions performed in the United States since its legalization in 1973. 61 million. King Herod had no qualms about snuffing out the lives of family members and innocent children, all because of his jealous lust for power, all because of his sinful nature, and because Satan was there behind the scenes, encouraging him every step of the way. And the sinful nature, the old Adam and Satan, are just as real and active throughout the centuries within men and women, right down to our very day. Satan loves to murder. As Jesus said to the Jews who rejected him, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." And though you and I have likely not committed any atrocity like Herod did, though you and I have been opposed to murder of children throughout our lives, probably, though you and I maybe have never had an abortion, performed an abortion, encouraged another to have an abortion, or been a supporter of abortion, and all these are different ways of murdering children, the same blood that flowed through the veins of Herod is also the same blood that flows through the veins of you and me. We are all born with the old Adam. And we see that old Adam manifested in our individual sins, in the world, within Herod, within Bernard Nathanson, and within you and me. But this old Adam, and what it produces in the world, and Herod, and abortionists, and you and me, this is why that one child, that one baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. That's why that one baby was spared. This holy child was spared by means of an angel who directed the stepfather Joseph to flee to Egypt. This child was spared so that this child could live and fight another day. But it was a very, very strange life and a very strange fight that he fought. It was a strange life of struggle from the beginning of his humiliation, his lowly birth, the threat of his life by Herod. That was just the beginning. The Son of God made flesh was never without humility and suffering. That was his lot in life, chosen by him for him by his true Father in heaven. And although he was not slaughtered along with those other babies in that atrocity of 4 BC, the day of slaughtering would come for this Son of God, a day chosen for him not by King Herod, not by Herod's son, not by Pontius Pilate, not by any earthly ruler, but chosen by his own Father in heaven. And all the suffering he would experience, from being placed in a manger to the grueling travels, knowing that others wanted him dead, growing up in the lowliest of settings, being rejected by his own people, being slandered, and finally going to the cross, all this suffering was for the cruel heart of Herod and for all the old Adams, all the sinful hearts of all people and the sins they produced. That was why this child was allowed to live another day. That is why he fought the way he did, by humiliation and suffering. And that is how he won. For there, the sins of the whole world were paid for. Yours, mine, and even Herod's, the monster. You know, Herod, in spite of his atrocities, could have been saved by that child born in Bethlehem, who Herod feared might strip him of his authority and supplant him as the king of the Jews. But what Herod did not realize and did not believe is that this child did not come to strip him of his earthly power. No, Jesus came to strip him of his sins. However, Herod chose to hold on to his own sins. If he would have repented, if he would have turned from his sin and believed in this child that he tried to kill, you and I would see him in heaven when we arrive there. But he chose to bear his own sins instead of seeing them borne by the Christ child 30 years down the road. You and I have our old Adam and our various sins. Some may haunt us more than others. Some may involve the death of a child. They may somehow be related to abortion. For most of us, that's probably not the case. But we still all have our personal sins, including hatred, which Jesus tells us is the same thing as murder. And if we are Christians, and we look back at our sins and realize this sinful nature is still hanging around us, and if we are truly sorry for them and confess them, then we have this Christ child, who we know and believe was born for us, who suffered for us, who died for us. And that's really all we need. For in Christ, all our sins, no matter what they are all forgiven. I want to tell you about three people who I highly regard. The first one, she's a somewhat older lady now. She was baptized as an infant, grew up in a good Lutheran home and good Lutheran church. But during her teenage years, she got herself pregnant. And for whatever reason, she flew out to New York and got an abortion. For this was prior to the legalization of abortion in 1973. And as life went on for her, unlike Herod, she realized what she had done and was brought to repentance and brought back to faith in Christ, in whom she was forgiven. The second person I just met several years ago. She came to America with her family when she was young. She had no religion whatsoever when she came here. She also, as a teenager, became pregnant, followed by an abortion. She got pregnant again, followed by another abortion. And sometime after that, when she was in college, she was introduced to Christianity and to Jesus Christ. She also was brought to repentance and faith in Jesus. In both these cases, these two ladies who had killed their children found forgiveness and new life in the only place where it could be found, in the one who was born at Bethlehem, whose life was spared so he could live and fight another day, especially on another day where his life would not be spared. These two Christian ladies now have the peace that surpasses all understanding. They also happen to be two Christians who speak to others about Jesus more than almost anybody I know. They are so thankful that they want others to know as well. And they do so unabashedly. The third person I hold in high regard is one that I mentioned earlier, Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who ran the largest abortion clinic in the Western Hemisphere, who oversaw 75,000 abortions, and who said of himself, quote, "I am one of those who helped usher in this barbaric age." He was an atheist back then. Around 1980, he changed his view on abortion, in large part because of new scientific technology like ultrasound, which revealed to him very clearly the truth of what he had been doing, killing innocent children. He became pro-life because of the truth seen on a monitor screen. And it was this truth of his sin that led him to the truth of Christianity. In 1996, Dr. Bernard Nathanson was baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All his sins, even the worst of them, were washed away in holy baptism. For there in that sacrament, Jesus had placed the forgiveness of all his sins and the forgiveness of all sins of all people. He suffered and died for them all. And now that forgiveness was in that sacrament. Bernard Nathanson spent his remaining years fighting against the barbarism that he had helped bring into our culture. That's often what Christian people do. They see how many sins they have done and how terrible they might be, and they see how they are forgiven. And out of thankfulness, they say, I now need to love my neighbor. As I mentioned earlier, this is the last day of Christmas. And Christmas is a season of celebration and joy. As the angel said to the shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And this joy is not just that a child has been born, or even that this child was and is the Son of God. But the joy is what this child, the Son of God, came to do for these two ladies, for Bernard Nathanson, for all sinners, and for you and me. There is no greater joy in heaven, Jesus said, over one sinner who repents. Joy because of who Jesus was and what he would do and did do for us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.